to continue our series of candidate interviews for next month's primary elections here in Wisconsin. We've invited candidates in contested congressional primaries to join us on Central Time and on The Joy Cardine Show.
Today, we stay in the 6th Congressional District in eastern and central Wisconsin.
Republican Glenn Grothman is the incumbent. Yesterday, we heard from Michael Slattery, one of the two Democrats running to challenge him. Today, Democratic candidate Sarah Lloyd joins the show.
The winner of the primary on Tuesday, August 9th, will be on the ballot in November facing Grothman and independent candidate Jeff Dahlke.
Sarah Lloyd joins us now. She's a candidate in the Democratic primary for the 6th Congressional District. Sarah, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, tell us, first of all, why you're running for Congress.
Well, I'm running for Congress because many of the folks that I meet across the 6th Congressional District are still struggling, even though we've seen some economic recovery. And we need to make sure we have an economy that's going to work for everyone. I was approached back last summer by some people and said, would you look at the race? Would you be willing to run? And I took a look and thought, yeah, you know, we're the people we've been waiting for. So we need to step up and to push back against the policies that are capturing our economy and also our democracy.
Can you tell us some about your background and how it would help you represent your district in Congress?
Yeah, so my husband and I dairy farm outside of the Wisconsin Dells in Columbia County, and I work off the farm for the Wisconsin Farmers Union and the Wisconsin Food Hub Cooperative. So with those experiences, I understand small businesses and also rural community. But I also have experience with elected office. I was elected to 2 terms on the Columbia County Board and represented my constituents there on the Health and Human Service and Nursing Home Committee. So also understand the way that the federal programs come down to the municipalities and to the people with Medicare and Medicaid. Then I also have been appointed to the National Dairy Board by the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, so I have experience in governance at the national level on the dairy board.
In this primary race, you and Michael Slattery have a lot of views in common on many issues. You are both farmers. I think both worked with the Farmers Union. Journal Sentinel, I think, described you as friendly rivals. How would you distinguish yourself from Michael Slattery for the voters?
Yes, I think friendly rivals is a good way of describing it. I have experience in elected office, and a lot of the work that I have done in the cooperative business development and other places in my work have been about building coalitions, building allies and shared interests together to move things forward. And that's the kind of things we need in Congress right now to work around shared values. I also will distinguish myself from Michael Slattery in the sense that I am running a strong campaign. I am raising the resources necessary to hire staff because we do need to unseat the incumbent, Glenn Grothman, and so we need to have resources to do that. I'm raising money. I've got 3 paid staff people. I'm getting out there on the ground and can run a tough race against Grothman.
If you win the primary, as you say, you'd go on to face incumbent Glenn Grothman. What would you focus on in that general election in November?
Well, I think that people are looking for economic solutions because we can't have a situation where people are working harder than ever but still not able to make ends meet. And so we need to see where we're investing in our communities. You know, we've had federal resources come down to the local level in infrastructure development when you think about rebuilding roads. Let's expand rail infrastructure for both freight and passenger. And those can bring resources to kickstart the economy and make sure that we have good jobs. And I support that. And I think that is a role of the government. And let's also invest in the educational infrastructure. So I am strongly supporting reforming the college debt or loan situation so that we can, folks that are hold college loans can refinance those loans. And also, you know, let's make sure that there are grants and loans available to people that do want to attend technical colleges, community colleges, and four-year colleges. And that's going to be really a kickstart for the economy. And Glenn Grossman is not supporting programs that support people and communities, and he's not bringing resources back to the district. And that is something that I will prioritize in Congress.
We're talking to Sarah Lloyd. She's a candidate in the Democratic primary for the 6th Congressional District in our ongoing series of candidate interviews for next month's primary elections. Sarah, there's a Republican majority in the U.S. House. So there's likely to be a Republican majority in the U.S. House next year. If you are in that Republican-controlled House, how would you see yourself working with Republicans to pass some of those agenda items you were just talking about?
Yeah, so again, I mentioned earlier my background and professional career is working on bringing groups together, on building coalitions, and in that work, you work on shared values. So one area that I think is a real opportunity in Congress right now is actually the issue of trade deals. We have seen pushback from both sides of the aisle on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, for example. And this is a place where people, workers, communities, farmers are really standing up and saying, when you think of the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, or the Central American CAFTA, and these other trade deals, we were promised that these would impact positively our communities and our families and businesses, and that's not happened. And so we need to push back. We need to reject the Trans-Pacific Partnership as it's written, and there actually are Republicans and Democrats that want to see that happen. So I want to work on that together. I mentioned earlier the issue of college loans and being able to refinance and also make college more affordable. You now have key economic sectors like the realtors, for example, who are realizing that they need people coming out of college to be able to buy homes, to be able to participate in the economy fully, that they're not being able to do when they're saddled with heavy debts. And that's something now that both Republicans and Democrats are really realizing that it's a drag on the economy. So there's another area where we can work together. So let's find the areas that we can work together on and push forward positive economic change.
Getting back to those trade agreements you mentioned, obviously those have been a big issue in the presidential race so far. With something like the Trans-Pacific Partnership, are you thinking scrap the whole thing, or are there changes that could be made, safeguards in it, that would make you more open to it? And same thing for something like NAFTA. Are there changes you'd like to see retroactively to a trade deal like that?
Yes. Well, with regards to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, you know, one of the issues that we have on the trade deals in general is that the Fast Track Trade Authority was passed, which actually gave the president executive power so that Congress could not go in and amend or filibuster anything in the trade deals. And that's a serious impact to the constitutional separation of powers, that Congress is responsible for regulating trade. So aside from the specifics of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, we have to end fast-track authority because that's really the check that the people had on these deals. With regards to kind of the specifics of what we need in the deals, we need fair trade that will actually recognize all the member people in the supply chain. And as we live in a global world, of course, we have parts being shipped overseas to then be manufactured in other places. And right now, with the way that TPP is written, it really is not assuring any sort of fairness for the people involved in the production and the manufacturing. It's really just allowing for multinational corporations to have sort of unfettered and untransparent access to the market. And so we need to make sure that that local governments and state governments can have environmental protections that they need, that it can have workers' rights and wage laws that can be enforced at the local level. And those trade deals threaten those. And so unless the TPP can be rewritten so that it's sure that, you know, the U.S. Environmental laws could be enforced, I can't accept the TPP. And the same goes with NAFTA. You know, we've taken any kind of grievance in these trade deals outside of any kind of transparent court or system and put it in some black box tribunals where people don't know what's going on, and that's not acceptable. So those are the transparency. It has to be changed in all of the trade deals.
We're talking to Sarah Lloyd, candidate for Congress in Wisconsin's 6th District Democratic primary.
And you can join us at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for the candidate? What do you think Congress should focus on next year? And if you live in the 6th Congressional District, what's the most important issue in your area? Call 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation with Sarah Lloyd. She is a Democratic candidate in next month's primary election in the 6th Congressional District in eastern and central Wisconsin.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for the candidate? If you live in that 6th Congressional District, what's the most important issue facing your community? What are your top priorities for Congress in the coming year? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now with Gail in Fish Creek. Gail, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have one question, which I'm sure is on a lot of people's minds, especially now with Donald Trump being the big Republican who isn't putting out his tax returns yet, and there's lots of reasons why. I'm wondering what the officials are going to start doing in Wisconsin to get the billionaires and the extremely wealthy people in Wisconsin to pay their state taxes. One in particular who is backing Trump has had an article out about her that she has absolutely not paid any state taxes in 4 out of 5 years.
Gail, thanks for the call. Of course, you're running for federal office, Sarah, but on that theme, taxation, progressive taxation levels, taxation for the wealthy, what's your position on that?
Well, we definitely need to look carefully at the taxation that's going on, because a lot of times when we're asking to make sure that we have good investment in our communities and infrastructure and education, we're being told, oh, we can't afford that, you know, the federal government is broke, but it's not. And what we need to do is make sure that we're closing tax loopholes, that we are taxing profit-taking on speculation on Wall Street. We're making sure that people aren't able to hide profits offshore so that they aren't taxed. And this is really important, because everyone should be paying their fair share of taxes. And a lot of times right now we hear from Congress and from other leaders that, oh, you know, we can't afford things, or, oh, people are going to have to threat that the middle class is going to have to pay more taxes, when actually we could bring a lot more revenue into the federal coffers that would assist in stimulating the economy if we actually had fair taxes and that large corporations weren't avoiding their fair share.
Thanks for the call, Gail. We'll go next to Jason in Wauwatosa. Jason, hi.
Hi. My question was how the speaker felt about corporate personhood and the Citizens United decision, and I know there's a lot of groups in Milwaukee that are trying to get that on up to politicians that talk about that, and I was wondering how she felt about that.
Thanks, Jason, for the question. So, Sarah, the Citizens United decision and campaign finance.
Yeah, thanks for that question, and that's very important to me. We have to get money out of politics, and money is not speech. And I reject that notion. Citizens United, the Supreme Court ruling, you know, really got the genie out of the bottle on that one. In Congress, you know, what I can do is make sure that I am part of co-sponsoring bills and passing bills that would limit the dark money or gray money, so that to start with, that we're making sure that people have to disclose the money that they're putting into the political races. As far as overturning Citizens United, I fully support the idea of constitutional amendment that would clarify that money is not speech and corporations are not people. That is definitely important to me. And, you know, I think it's problematic right now, for example, that we don't have a full sitting Supreme Court. And obviously that's not the House's role, but I would urge that the federal government, the Senate, act to fill the vacancy. And that also is why the presidential race is so important this time, because there are a number of 2 to 3 probably Supreme Court justices that will come up to be filled during this next presidency. And we need to make sure we have a Democrat in office. So my running for Congress is sort of part of that larger Democratic movement to make sure that we're keeping money out of politics. Our Supreme Court is acting in the interest of the citizens and not the corporations.
Jason, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Sarah Lloyd, candidate for Congress, a Democrat in the 6th District primary next month. Still time for your questions for the candidate at 800-642-1234. Alex joins us next in Markesan. Alex, hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
I just want to ask, what candidate, Sarah, did you support in the primary? And since we came down to, we obviously have Clinton now, what are some reasons why you can wrap your head around why you can trust Clinton as president, and considering her trustworthiness ratings are so low?
Alex, thanks for the call. So, Sarah, the Bernie Sanders-Hillary Clinton primary and the outcome of that, what do you think?
Yeah, so I was a strong Bernie Sanders supporter. I was actually designated by the Sanders campaign to attend the Democratic National Convention as a member of the Rules Committee. So I met as a member of the Rules Committee on Saturday and was part of the work that was done to come up with a binding commission that will reduce the power of the superdelegates. And I think that was a good progress in the right direction. I will support Hillary Clinton going forward. And the reason that I will do that is, you know, I mentioned earlier the Supreme Court is at stake, and that is essential. If we think about all of the important things that we need to make sure that our economy is going to work for real people, for farmers, for communities, for workers, we need to have Democratic platform in order, and we need to be able to push that through. We have a great opportunity to retake the U.S. Senate with Russ Feingold's campaign. Wisconsin will be important. With Hillary Clinton in the White House, we're going to start getting an audience and with the Senate and the presidency to push these things through. And that's why we need to make sure that we're all doing what we can up and down the ticket to get those things forward. But I look at the economic urgency, because we need to make sure the economy is going to support people. I look at the trade deal issue with the Senate and the presidency. And Donald Trump is really not fit to be the president, and it's quite frightening to me. And so the stakes are so high that we need to work. And if people are not feeling that sure right now about Hillary Clinton, get out there and work for Feingold. Get out there and work for me in the 6th. Get out and work for somebody at the state level that's going to work for you. Because the more activity that we have as Democrats, the better policies that we can get in place. And there's too much at stake for folks to sit home.
Alex, thanks for the call. Sarah wanted to ask about a big issue, one of the big unsolved issues in American politics, sure to come up for the next Congress, immigration and immigration reform. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we must have comprehensive immigration reform because right now we have a system that's completely unworkable. It's not supporting employers. It's not supporting the employees, whether they be U.S. born or immigrant. And we've created this situation where we have all these people living in the shadows, and it's not good for our communities or for people. We need to recognize that we are in a transnational labor situation. You know, we have, for the most part, if you're thinking about immigrant workers in Wisconsin, we have people from Mexico coming up to do jobs in sectors of the economy, agriculture, restaurant, hotel, and service sector that we're not finding U.S.-born workers to do. So we need to recognize that. You know, we've heard other candidates talk about deporting 11 million people and building a wall. Deporting 11 million people, which is what's estimated to be the number of undocumented immigrants in the U.S., is completely not feasible. It just wouldn't work. But it would also tear apart families and lives. And that's not who we are as Americans, as a nation of immigrants.
And we'll leave it there, Sarah. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Sarah Lloyd. She's a candidate for Congress in the 6th District Democratic primary. We talked to the other candidate in that primary race, Michael Slattery, yesterday at this time. The primary election itself takes place on Tuesday, August 9th. And you can find a lot more information about Election Day, where to vote, how to vote, and candidate interviews from us here at Wisconsin Public Radio and our friends over at Wisconsin Public Television. Find all that and lots of other voting information at wisconsinvote.org. That's wisconsinvote.org.